1 Corinthians chapter 11, we begin reading in verse 20, where the Apostle Paul is chiding the church at Corinth, and he says, "When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper, for in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another." Some of you know, maybe many of you know here, that April is a very special month around here. For it is the anniversary month of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association. This month, April, on the 17th in particular, the FEA celebrates 89 years of ministry. This building that you're in now houses this ministry that has broadcast and published the truth in an effort to preach the gospel, teach the word of God, and contend for the faith for 89 years. Not one person here today was alive 89 years ago when the ministry began. Of course, we thank and praise God for his goodness and his guidance these many years. But the point I want to make is this. The purpose of any anniversary is to remember not just a day, but what the day represents. We enjoy birthdays, well, some of us do, to remind us of how old we have become. We enjoy anniversaries to remember the covenant we have made with our spouse. We enjoy holidays and to remember and commemorate a particular event that transpired in the past. The key is this: we remember these things that we perpetually celebrate. While we tend to forget and set aside from our memory those things that we fail to take the time to remember. We just do. We're forgetful people. God knows we're forgetful, which is why so often in his word he reminds us not to forget. Today, I believe it's necessary for us here at Grace Bible Church to have a service of remembrance, to take the time to remember Jesus Christ, to remember what he has done for us and who he is to us. After all, that's why we're here. I mean, that is why we are here together in the first place. And I believe it's helpful for us at this point to refocus on Jesus Christ here, especially as we're coming into April and spring and Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday is around the corner. And, you know, we have special meetings coming up with Dr. Kober. And so many times we get so focused on ourselves and all these things and on these events. I think it's helpful for us at this point to refocus on Jesus Christ and get the focus off of ourselves. I think, and it's sad, but I think so many times, too much of the time, even at church, our thoughts tend to be on ourselves. I think we tend to focus on what we do or don't like about the church or the sermon or the people around or this or that. And we just focus, even when we come together, Too often, if we do not stop and remember, we focus too much on me, on ourselves, on us. And today, I want us to be reminded of why we're here and why we come together when we do. In the text that we just read back here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul instructs us concerning our need to be perpetually reminded of what Jesus Christ has done for us, what he has accomplished for us. We take the time to stop and remember the very foundation of our new birth, our spiritual life, the very foundation of our relationship with God himself when we partake of what is often called the communion service or the Lord's Supper. And as human beings, sadly, unless we take the time to stop and be quiet and remember, we are prone to forget. The Lord knows that we tend to get so caught up in so many other things. He knows that we tend to forget. So he knows we need to be reminded. We need to stop. We need to be quiet. We need to return to the basics and remember what he's done for us. This beautiful service that we're going to remember today, throughout the centuries, it's become misunderstood. And it's even become perverted by many who profess to know Jesus Christ as Savior. In fact, within the context of what we read this morning, today's text, we find that even in the first century, the very beginning of the church, believers were already distorting and perverting this service of remembrance. Thousands of years ago. Believers were coming together in Corinth as a local church and being selfish and divisive as they came together to remember the shed blood and the broken body of Jesus Christ. They were coming to the table, the Lord's table, selfish and divisive and even drunk. Shortly thereafter, the Roman Catholic Church attached a salvific significance to this, really a damnable teaching that has permeated many different churches and denominations today. Sadly, even many fundamental and evangelical churches today have made the Lord's table, the communion service, a political event. You know, it's members only, or withholding elements from those they feel should be withheld, or whatever it might be. So it's so important we understand the biblical doctrine of what this service is. The Apostle Paul spells it out for us here, and that's what we want to notice this morning. So from today's text that we just read, I want to quickly focus on seven features of the communion service or the Lord's Supper before we take the time to participate in this important time of remembrance ourselves. First, we see back in chapter 11, verses 20, 21, and 22, that the Lord's Supper is to be observed with sanctity and respect. To treat this time of remembrance flippantly or to partake of the Lord's Supper with an improper motive, verse 22 tells us, is to despise the church of God. This is serious. When we take the time to partake of the elements and remember why we're here, and remember who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for us, when we embrace that flippantly or partake with an improper motive, we despise the church of God. Particularly here in Corinth, these believers were bringing their own food to the table and eating and getting drunk without even realizing the meaning and significance of the Lord's Supper. And Paul's response to that was, you know, you guys could just stay home to eat and drink if your purpose for coming together was simply to indulge in that kind of behavior. Don't you? Do you have a home? You have homes to do this in. Do it there. One way to defile the serious and reverent nature of this service is to harbor feelings of selfish superiority toward others in the body of Christ, or to have some ill will toward another in your life. Notice what Paul says in verse 22. Have ye not houses to eat and drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and notice, shame them that have not? The believers here in Corinth were defiling this service, not only by bringing their own food and drink in a disgraceful manner, they were looking down on others in the church who didn't have enough to engage in such revelry. Looking down on others, those who maybe didn't have as much. Nothing brings more harm to a body of believers than some who set themselves up as better or superior to others. We know from James' epistle that he deals with that there. Despising those who were different. despising those who have more, despising those who have less. Paul says this communion service, the Lord's Supper, is to be observed with sanctity and respect. Number two, we find that it is divinely commanded and explained in verse 23. So Paul leads into verse 23 and says, I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. It's divinely commanded. It's divinely explained, this service that we remember. It's not simply a human tradition or invention. You see, Paul was not present at the upper room when Jesus and the 11 were together at the table and they were partaking of the Last Supper. Paul was not present, but God instructed Paul. I have, Paul says, received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and he goes on. Paul, the command here to do this in remembrance of me is given only to true believers, only given to the church. It's only for those who already know Jesus Christ as Savior. Not only are we commanded by God to observe this time of remembrance, but the Bible tells us what to do. We need to make much of the communion service because God commands it and God explains it. This is what we call one of the two ordinances of the local church, something commanded by Jesus Christ that we need to do in order to remember. You see, elsewhere in Scripture, the Apostle Paul affirms his apostleship. And apostleship, part of the affirmation of an apostle, is one who received direct revelation from God. And then he exhorts the believers to do what he says, because in reality, Paul says, my words are come from God. This isn't just a human tradition or invention. God requires obedience. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior today, this is a time for you to remember who he is and what he's done for you. God requires obedience. Just as he requires obedience in baptism, he requires obedience in the partaking of the Lord's Supper. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior today, and you're in a proper fellowship with him, abiding in him, you need to remember his death by partaking of the communion elements. This service is to be observed with sanctity and respect. It is divinely commanded and explained. Number three, the third thing we see is it is to be a service of remembrance. This is the core of why we partake. A memorial service, remembering, number one, the broken body of Jesus Christ. Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, suffered and died for you, although you did not deserve it nor desire it. Romans makes it so perfectly clear that when we were without strength, when we were enemies of God, when we were under the wrath of God, God's love was poured out on the cross for us, not when we wanted it. We love him because what? He first loved us. The four Gospels describe the crucifixion of Jesus Christ in great detail. We're not going to take the time to read that this morning. But it's a memorial service remembering the broken body of Christ, but it's also a memorial service remembering the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He shed his blood for you and me, although we did not deserve it, nor did we desire it. Over in Romans chapter 5, in verse 6, we read, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were without strength, when there's nothing you could do to save yourself, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die, but God. There's one of those great but gods in Scripture. But God commendeth his, what is his motivation? Love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, there it is again, Christ died for us. while we were yet sinners. Much more then, being now justified, declared righteous by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. In the Old Testament, during the Exodus from Egypt, the Israelites could only escape the judgment of God by applying the blood of a spotless lamb to their doorposts. You see what the picture was of there? That lamb died in their place. The lamb died in their place. All the Israelites had to do was believe and apply that blood. Apply the blood, the shed blood of this innocent lamb. Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. He shed his blood. He broke his body on Calvary's cross for us when we were completely helpless and hopeless. This service is a time to remember our Passover lamb, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul does not instruct us concerning how often we are to have a communion service. He doesn't say in here, you know, once a week, once a month, three times a year. But the fact that it is to serve as a service of remembrance means we must not partake so often that it means very little to us. Nor must we forsake this ordinance for a long period of time either, so that we refuse to remember, you see. It's to be a service of remembrance, number three. Number four. Number four, we find from our text, it is to be a time of self-examination. And we see that beginning in verse 27. A time of self-examination. Number one, we must examine our own salvation. You see, this memorial, as I said before, this service of remembrance is only to be observed by believers. Yeah, let me tell you something. This is a wonderful time for anybody to become a new creature in Christ. It's a wonderful time. There are those who have come to know Jesus Christ in the preparation of a service to remember him, because they say, I realize he did it all. I'm a sinner. There's nothing I can do. And I place my trust, my faith, I believe in nothing but the person and work of Jesus Christ for my eternal well-being. That could be true of you this morning if you have not yet made that choice, made that decision to believe in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Examine your salvation this morning. But also examine your life as a believer and deal with any sin in your life that you may refuse to confess to the Lord. You see, we must not partake of the elements if we have not dealt with known sin in our lives. To do so is to not only dishonor Christ, but to actually make a mockery of Christ's sacrifice for sin and make light of it by willingly continue to indulge in it and cling to it. Yet once again, it's a wonderful time to examine yourself and deal with sin. This is time right now to focus. Lord, I need to make things right with you. Lord, I want to remember. We talked this morning in our Sunday school class about the revival and the renewal that occurred among God's people, the children of Israel, after 20 years of the ark resting at Kirjath Jearim. And Samuel comes and gathers the people together. And it was a great time of renewal. It was a great time of revival. That can be, the communion service can be that for you. But understand this, verse 28. The examination can only be carried out by you. Not the pastor, not an usher, not anybody else. Not anybody else. But so let a man examine himself. Why? Why does Paul say that through inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Because only a man or a woman knows their heart. I can't read it. Dave can't read it. Gary can't read it. Your spouse can't read your heart. Only you. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread. If you must, let the elements pass. If you must let them pass, let them pass. Failure to examine yourself and deal with sin will bring God's chastisement in some form or the other, which is why Paul says here that for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, if we would examine ourselves first and deal with sin as we should not be judged. That is disciplined by God. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. I don't want God's chastening hand upon me in my life. Examine your life to see whether or not you're abiding in Christ. Number five, it's to be a time of public proclamation. Verse 26, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. One theologian said, the Lord's Supper is not a sacrificial presentation to God. Rather, it's a visible proclamation of the gospel message to men. That is exactly what it is. Do show. You see that word there? Do show literally means to declare plainly, openly, or aloud. You see, we're not only remembering, but we're testifying of the person and work of Jesus Christ to those who are around us. What a blessed thing. It's a time of public proclamation. I am showing the Lord's death. But next, number six, it is also to be a time of expectation of Christ's return because I'm showing his death till when? Till he come. That's what we're looking for. Verse 26, the good news is this. We're going to celebrate this. We celebrate it every Sunday, but in maybe a greater detail in a few weeks. Jesus did not remain in the grave. Every other little g god that ever used to be a person is dead in a grave or will die and be in a grave and not get up for a long time. God is not dead. He rose from the dead, which reveals his triumph over death, his acceptance by God the Father, and his perfect salvation. I love the way it's put in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because, one of my favorite phrases in all of Scripture, it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Wow. That means something, though. That means that if he's not dead, he's still alive. And he's made a promise concerning his life that he's coming back. The blessed hope of every believer is the any moment, the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And the Lord's Supper should not only remind us of what he's done for us, but what he will do for us yet future. Titus chapter 2. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious return of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. He will return for us. We will rule and reign with him in his kingdom. We will spend eternity with him. Dr. Kober's going to talk about that this next week. And that reality should motivate us to be blameless before him at his appearing, which is what the Apostle John says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. It's to be a time of expectation of Christ's return. And finally, number seven, it's to be a time of fellowship and communion with other believers. Back in our text, we read, wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry, wait one for another. When the elements are distributed, we wait until all have received the elements and we partake together. Why? Because we are one body. Not because of who we are or because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. There should be no bitterness or harbored ill will toward our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul elaborates on this in Ephesians chapter 4. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. In the early church, the believers celebrated what was called the love feast prior to this Lord's Supper, this time of remembrance. And a lack of concern and fellowship was one of the primary problems Paul addressed here. Man, this church at Corinth, I mean, it had some real issues. There was some real carnality and fleshly living and focus going on here. But Paul is sharing here that the same love that Jesus had for us, we need to have for one another. We are here together today at Grace Bible Church, and you may have nothing in common with any other person in this building on a physical, material, or personal level. Nothing in common. Yet every single one of us here hold one thing in common that is more important than any other thing in the world. We are members one of another. We are members of the body of Christ, the church. Why did Jesus Christ come to earth and willingly die for sinful man? Why did he do this? Because he loved you and me. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation, the wrath-removing sacrifice for our sins. We must keep what he did for us always in remembrance. And one way we can do this is by remembering the Lord's Supper together, which we will now do. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful. We're grateful for the opportunity and the time you've given us this morning to come together and take it and remember, take the time to remember. I pray today, Lord, if there's someone here this morning who does not know you as Savior, this will be the moment that they realize their sinfulness, their helplessness, and the fact that you love them so much, you paid the price for them. I pray that person will place their trust, their faith in you and you alone for their eternal well-being. For those of us who do know you as Savior, Lord, I pray today might be a day of personal renewal and revival in our heart, in our lives, recognizing our need, number one, and turning to you for the answer, number two. I pray we will deal with things in our lives that need to be addressed, that we might be able to partake and remember what you've done through us through your Son, Jesus Christ, what you've done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. May we take a moment and speak to you privately. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this opportunity. May we treat it with respect. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.